We are going to have some images on the screen this morning, so if you can't see, please feel free to move. Now is your opportunity while we get everything finally set up. So may I speak in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please do sit down. When I realised that one of the Sundays I was due to preach was Trinity Sunday, my mind immediately went back to the lectures I heard when I was doing my training about the Trinity. And I have to admit, my heart dropped as I remembered how my brain hurt at the end of each lecture and my worry about how on earth was I going to find a way to explain what I had struggled with and failed to understand in so many places to other people. And now, here we are this morning. Now, as part of my preparations for today, I did go back and reread my notes and the lecture slides, but you'll be pleased to hear that I'm using very little of that material. So, let's start with the easy stuff. Trinity has as its root tri, so three, as in triangle, with three sides, or triplets, three babies, and so on. It comes from the Latin trinitas, and triune, if you come across that word, has the same meaning. You won't actually find the word trinity anywhere in the Bible. Now, the gospel reading this morning, what I just read, is the first time in the Bible that the phrase, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is used when Jesus is telling his disciples that their job, so our job as well, is to go out and baptize people. The only other time in the Bible that an obviously Trinitarian expression appears is in the final verse in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, which Sheila read to us this morning, where Paul writes the words, we now call the grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I've used the NIV translation just so I get the words that we all use. But Trinity is one of the central beliefs of the Christian church. And it appears in all the versions of the creed. It appears in much of our liturgy. If you look through any of our service books, it comes up again and again and again. And it is there through the Bible, in both the Old and the New Testaments. It's just not so clearly articulated. For example, at the creation, when God created everything, Jesus was there as the Word speaking creation into being. And the Spirit was there, blowing over the waters of the deep. And then there's the story of the Lord appearing to Abraham at the oak of Mamre in Genesis chapter 18 to tell him that he and Sarah will have a child in their old age. Three men visit Abraham, and these are believed to be the Trinity. And the image that you can see, it's a famous icon painted by Andrei Rublev in the 15th century, depicting this scene with the three angels sitting around a table. And they're interpreted as representing from left to right God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if you look, you can find many other instances through Scripture as God reveals himself to us. So any references to wind, also to doves, are generally God the Holy Spirit. Clouds and fire are generally God the Father. And Jesus is pretty obvious as God loving us so much that that love became incarnate and lived among people. And Jesus refers to his Father throughout the Gospels and tells his followers that the Advocate or the Helper will come to them, God the Holy Spirit acting in Christian people today. Now, the same person who coined the word Trinity, a man called Tertullian, who lived at the end of the 2nd century and the start of the 3rd century, also came up with the idea of a persona, which literally means a mask worn in Roman theatre, when a single person would have played many roles and put on a mask for each persona, for each character. But behind the mask was the same person. And whilst there are those three personas in the Trinity, they are all of one substance or essence. They are all God. Now, people have come up with all sorts of different ways to try and explain this in ways that we can understand. But none of them, I'm afraid, are perfect, because we are trying to explain something that forms part of the mystery of our faith. And it is a mystery. It's not a numerical puzzle. But let's look at a few examples. They may help to wrap our brains around this concept of three in one. An example I use with children, simply because it's something that they've come across, it's well known, is the substance H2O, or water. And we can have it in liquid form as water, as a solid as ice, and as a gas as steam. But it's still the same chemical composition, H2O. Another one I've heard is that of an apple, with skin, flesh, and a core. Or a three-leaf clover. Or, and this is one for the musical among you, that of a chord. Now, if a full chord is played, it sounds harmonious. But the same chord with a note missing is incomplete and just isn't as pleasing on the ear. The problem with all these analogies and examples is they're actually trying to explain something that's outside the understanding of human beings, and they all break down at some point. They can explain a small corner of the whole picture, but not the whole picture of God. It's part of the mystery of God. As St. Augustine of Hippo put it in the 5th century, and excuse my attempt at speaking Latin, si enim comprehendis non est Deus, which roughly translates as, if you can get your mind around it, it's not God. So let's not get hung up on the wording or understanding how the Trinity works. It does show us that God is mysterious, and Christianity is called faith for a reason. So let's trust in God. It also shows that at the very core of God is relationship and love among the three personas. The God revealed in Jesus is the missionary God, sending his healing love into the world in Jesus, and now under Jesus' authority, sending Jesus' followers out with that same healing love, of which baptism is the sign and the seal. And although it can be hard to get our heads around the fact that one God exists as the three personas of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what we can understand is that God speaks as one person to us. We can be reassured that there's absolutely no division between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the challenge for us, therefore, especially in this difficult time as we go through building a new benefice and without a team rector, our challenge is to ensure that there's no division among us as we follow Jesus' instruction to go out and baptize all peoples in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.